As I was saying at breakfast to the famed writer of steamy romances, Miss Magnolia Badminton, who lives with me in the married state under her little-known name of Mrs. Gerald C. Potter, and is as pretty as a picture, even with a crumb of toast twinkling on her cheek, there comes a time when you reach a certain age. And you do find yourself, as I did on that particular morning, reading things that wouldn't have seized your attention very much at one time. Don't you agree, Diana?
This is nice. Fashioned by Alison Tether. How about this backless knitted mess jacket and draped silk drawers under a ridged batwing bolero fringed with fake ocelot fur?
I should feel conspicuous.
Just for evenings.
Oh, well, in that case.
Paris collection.
You weren't listening, were you, my darling?
They call it the Coldstream look.
Certainly make a stir at the palace. Oh, look. Old next-door Giebel's in our garden, stark naked on the birdbath, cutting his toenails.
I know.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, darling, I wasn't listening. Did you say something?
No, nothing. Nothing, my darling. Hardly anything. Just that the years are undoubtedly passing, and I'm personally losing interest in some of the headlines, like the one on your back page. 2020 could be boom year, says Chancellor. Can I have the marmalade, please?
You've got some.
Where?
On your chin.
Oh, yeah. That better?
Yes, lovely, right.
Thank you. I wasn't going to tell you about your toast crumb.
What, where?
Left-hand dimple, darling, higher up.
Mm.
Yeah, no. Oh, for heaven, don't tell me you don't know where your dimples are after all this time.
I don't know why you say all this time.
No, well, I didn't mean that. No, left hand, dear.
Oh, yes. I only see them in the mirror. It's funny that. When you think you could live to 100 and never see your face the right way round.
Not that you'd want to. I mean, I wouldn't. See mine, that
is. Oh, yours. That's understandable.
I mean, at 100.
You know who you'll look like? John D. Rockefeller in a grainy old newsreel, but with a paid attendant to keep your chin clean.
Yes. Or I might have a... Ah, hang on a minute. I saw it here just now.
What's that you've got?
Came to the letterbox. Geriatric feeding bib. Box of 12, £1.95.
Don't be disgusting.
Well, that's what they're for, so that we shan't be. I mean, we have to look to the future. There's lots of good stuff in here. Lots of unusual underwear.
Shut up.
Or how would you like an orthopedic support pillow? Sleep like a child, all right, it says.
I do that, thank you.
Perching frame and walker.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
How do you mean?
Well, I thought they were the publisher.
They aren't a they, Diana. It is an it. You perch on the frame and walk.
More coffee, please.
Help yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, damn, is that all?
By no means. Then it folds up and clamps on the side of the bed, apparently. And you could heave yourself onto your orthopedic support pillow. And if you drop anything in the night... You see page 11. Here. If you drop anything in the night, you pick it up with the patent trigger-action nipper stick. A boon for back sufferers, says Dr. C. Oakhampton.
Give me that.
All right. If you won't like it.
I don't like it already. I'm putting the waste paper out today. I'll put this. I suppose you couldn't open the door.
Certainly, my darling. I shan't be a minute. I'll just get perched on my perching frame. Be over there in no time. Yes, well... I quite understood that touch of testiness over the old folks' comfort catalogue. She was between books at the moment. Always a difficult time. It doesn't last long, just a couple of days while her typewriter cools off, but she uses them to think of a new plot. Well, actually, the old plot with new people, of course. So naturally, she didn't see any percentage in that sort of information. No, my sort of writing has to be different, and different each time. Crime readers are very sharp on that, you know. Give them more than one Gerald C. Potter with a frozen cod as the blunt instrument, and they're chucking them out of the train windows. On the other hand, to look on the bright side, I can make my corpses any age I fancy. In fact, I was only thinking later that morning, as I sat in my secluded literary writing shed down the garden, that a few aides to the superannuated found at the scene of the crime, from which the body has mysteriously vanished as usual, could be highly intriguing clues, and just drop in nicely at this stage of the action. But the body had vanished as usual. Not as usual, you fool. Good. Now then, a bit of crystallock. How would it go? Sergeant, said the inspector. Sergeant, you've let the body escape and no one knows what he looks like. Exclamation mark. Yes, sir, said Sergeant Axminster. Well, whatever his beastly name is, Sergeant Carpet, who was employing a patent trigger-action nipper stick to pick up the blood-stained orthopedic support pillow. But he was obviously not a young man in the first flowering of vibrant youth. Yes, very good. Very good, that. Then let's see what happens next. The telephone rings suddenly. Yes, that's always good. Suddenly the telephone rang. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do you mind?
Do what?
Suddenly the telephone rang. I mean, ring the sudden telephone.
Darling, it was your idea.
It was certainly not. I was in mid-corpse.
Your idea to have an extension out there. I said when you first got that shanty, if you remember.
Not a shanty.
Thickerwood Nut.
It's a delightful sun loggia in Canadian spruce.
Yes, darling, if that's how you see it. I'm only saying that you would have the phone in. Gerald?
Gerald speaking, yes. Where are you, then?
At Millie Bradshaw's.
Oh.
Well, I'm not yet, but I'm just going, so I shall be when I get there, because she has a very interesting life, and I want to borrow it, in case you suddenly open the garage and the car's gone, and I thought I'd better explain. So if she doesn't come across with a gin, I'll be back after tea. I'm sorry, but it isn't as bad as double glazing, as long as you don't mind making your own just this once.
Oh, that's very clear.
You sound funny. Are you all right?
Yeah, look, just one or two small points, Diana. I mean, it's just idle curiosity, but what isn't as bad as double glazing?
Me? I'm not. On the phone. You say men keep ringing you up trying to sell double glazing. Wouldn't you rather it's me?
Thank you. No, I am sorry. I ought to have seen that.
Yeah, I'm going now. See you later.
Yeah, not if you're coming back as Millie Bradshaw.
You're not all right.
You said you were going to borrow her life.
Life of Christian Dior, you dope.
Oh.
I thought of a plot about the what is it of fashion whirligig. It'll save no end of research. I explained that.
No, but I begin to get the drift. Isn't Millie the one with hats that looks as if she's wearing them for a bet, but nice legs?
She designs them. She's a hatter.
She must be mad.
I haven't looked at her legs much. They're over at Whitfield Green.
Are they? Both of them?
Unless they're separated.
Oh, nasty if that happens.
The last I heard, they were still together.
Good for them.
I don't like George much. You can never tell what he's talking about because he's in unit trust. But Millie's a sport.
Yeah, I'll bet. Olympics hopscotch medalist.
I can't stop now. I'm going.
Yeah, right, off you go.
Right, I'm off then.
Mind the gatepost.
I will.
Don't breathe into any strange breathalyzers.
I won't. Goodbye.
Remember to drive on the left.
I will.
And don't accept any free hats.
I won't. Yeah, oh, shut up.
I don't know why I was laughing. One interruption like that, and I even lose track of my own plot. Of course, I was glad she'd got a new one. That always makes for more sunshine about the house. But it meant I had to fall back on my handwritten notes, and I was particularly bothered by one reading October 24, Arthur Hall. A complete stranger to me. Arthur Hall? Not a glimmer. October the 24th? All my calendar could cough up was that it was United Nations Day. Well, not all, and for a rather curious reason. Checking with my digital watch date hole, I noticed that today was October the 24th. I worried about this. And then, in a sudden flash, I realized that it wasn't Arthur Hall. It was Albert Hall. Memory came fizzing in. Was it not at the Albert Hall on October the 24th, in a year I'm not telling you, that Diana and I had decided marriage was the only way out during an interval for coughing after the first movement of the Grieg A minor? It was indeed. This wasn't only United Nations Day, but United Potter Day. We'd gone in there, a pair of free people, and come out an engaged couple. Ah, now this was serious. Not the engagement, though I suppose that sort of thing's serious enough, but the need to get out and buy her a present before she was back from tea. Or gin, whichever be the sooner.
Phew!
May I assist you, sir?
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I'm so sorry, I've been walking. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
I'll just sit down a minute.
Not on the Louis XV style panelled walnut commode with tortoiseshell veneer and ebonized crowwork, sir, if you'd be so kind.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I wasn't thinking. Oh, it's very nice. How much is it?
It is nice, isn't it? 3,800.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, well, I was really after something smaller.
How much smaller?
Well, I was thinking of about £10. But I'd go to 15. She's got the car, you see.
Not entirely.
I beg your pardon?
Do you want us? I mean, if you were thinking of motor accessories, such as a nice steering wheel muff, for example, which we don't do here, actually, or rear window dollies.
No, I've got to walk, you see. I couldn't carry the commode. What about the pot dog over there? I could carry that.
Yes, it is. Very beautiful. Wonderful expression in the eyes.
How much is it?
£208.99. Oh, be careful!
Oh, I'm so sorry. Have you got it? Well caught. Well done indeed.
Thank you, sir. You can let go now.
Oh.
Thank you. If I could just put it back out of harm's way. Does she like sailors?
Hmm? Yeah, well, she's never said so, but I suppose she wouldn't, you know, not to me.
In groups?
Pardon?
Like those. China sailors.
Oh, like those. Ah, yeah, the China sailors in groups. No, I don't think so. No, it's, is it all right if I sit on this?
Oh, please do. It's only a crate of little vases. Bohemian glass, not very superior.
Really? I should think I could carry one of those, all right. One of the vases, that is. Wouldn't you say?
£18.
18, are they? 1/8. Yes.
They come in a free box.
Oh, well, that settles it. Well, thank you very much indeed in that case. Mind you, I don't like the commode. It's just a matter of... It's remarkable how much you can do in a short time. I was back at the typewriter by 4 o'clock, having hidden the bohemian bargain where nobody would think of looking. What's a surprise if it isn't a surprise, I always say. And trying to pick up the loose ends of the body in the basket, chapter 3. Unfortunately, what had been going like a breeze before that interruption by Mrs. Potter and the Bradshaws and Arthur Hall's commode had somehow blown itself out during my absence. Diana doesn't understand this, of course. Oh, she's lucky. She has different work methods, you see. Rattles off a couple of pages actually during a phone call and doesn't even change the colour of the hero's moustache. And it isn't, by the way, only the double glazers who come touting for business on the telephone. You can just be getting your thoughts together on a nice new page. Little did he suspect. What did I tell you? Lovely. Gerald C. Potter, Esquire.
Mr. Potter?
I put it like that, if it makes you happy.
I beg your pardon?
Not granted.
I'm afraid we haven't met.
Well, we can't meet everyone.
Exactly. That's very true.
Not with a world population of 4,000 million and rising. But don't worry about it.
Thank you very much indeed. My name's Alistair Remington Stackhurst. I hope you don't mind.
Not in the least. I once knew a man called Bum, with two M's, of course. But he still hated being paged at airports. Yes?
I represent the Taxation Advisory Service of the Mayfair and International Banking and Insurance Corporation's Investment and Consultative Division's Small Traders Development Group.
It's a responsibility.
Yes, indeed. If I could just put a very simple question.
You aren't a Pole?
No. Born in Worthing, actually.
You know, not a Pole from Poland, a Pole with a clipboard. Asking if I'm an electric shaver or prefer my potato chips crinkled or straight.
Not at all, I...
Oh, it's perfectly all right, as long as I understand the question. People don't sometimes, you see. I expect you saw that poll of girls' school leavers where they asked, are you a virgin? And one of the girls said, not yet. Are you still there?
Yes, I was...
I've shocked you.
No, I was just...
Look, you mustn't be upset if you didn't get it. We aren't all born with a sense of humour.
If I could just ask...
Not even in Worthing.
If I could just ask this one very simple question. Would you like to pay less income tax?
Now you're talking. And at a very suitable moment in the course of my financial affairs, as it happens.
I am. That's excellent.
Well, it is. It just happens that I had a check this morning for the Scandinavian rights on my last book, Stains in the Shrubbery. And the first thing I said was, my goodness, they're going to kill me next year with the tax on this lot. So anything you could do...
Oh, I'm sure we can, Mr. Potter. That's what we're here for. I take it this is a pretty big sum.
By my standards, it certainly is.
Good. You wouldn't think me impertinent to ask how much?
Yeah, of course not, my dear fellow, of course not. Just a minute, I've got it here somewhere. Yes, here we are, Nordic Bank Limited. Are they good people?
Oh, very, very sound.
Oh, good. You think they'd be all right for 42p, then? I mean, if I rush the check-in pretty smartly. It's Saturday today, of course, but I could whip it round first thing Monday morning. Are you there? He's not there. Shut up. You should be ashamed of yourself, Potter. He was only doing his job, such as it is. Now then, where are we? Yes, right, good. Little did he suspect. That. Suspect that what? I know he was little going to suspect that. But it was no good. It had gone. Thanks to that lunatic on the blower. Blast them, that's what I say. On the other hand, as always with these people, you do find yourself wondering afterwards if perhaps, after all, they haven't got something. Have you been too hasty? And beginning to wonder in this case, and the creative muse having been squashed to a pulp anyway, I wondered about financial wizard George Bradshaw in Unit Trusts. Being Saturday, he'd be at home. Actually, being Friday, he'd have been at home if I knew anything about financial wizards. Anyway, it occurred to me to give him a ring and ask his views on my recent caller's proposition. If I'd ever let him get to it. Now, where's my little personal thumb index pop-up telephone directory? B, 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 B. Here we go. Bradshaw, Billy and George. Good. Only 11 digits. Besides, I can find out what time they're going to release Miss Badminton into the weekend traffic.
Millicent Bradshaw? Who is this?
You've answered your own question, haven't you, love? I mean, what you really want to know is who is that? Or, put it another way, who is this? Now, don't hang up, don't hang up. There's a good girl. I just want to put three simple questions. One, is it true that you're holding a romantic lady novelist in Durance Vile at that address, filling her up with tea, or perhaps by this time, gin? Two...
This is Witchfield Green, 707-077-99907.
Don't I know it. My dialing figure's never going to be the same again. Millie, this is Gerald, in case you were wondering.
Oh, well, I was, but I'm not now.
Good. Second question. Is George there, the eminent financial wizard who taught John Maynard Keynes everything he ever knew about chicken farming for profit?
Gerald?
Millie?
Could you get to the point? I'm in the middle of a hat.
Ah, yes, sorry. Yes, know how you feel. Well, it's nothing, actually. I just wanted George's opinion on the Taxation Advisory Service of the Mayfair and International Banking and Insurance Corporation's Investment and Consultative Division Small Traders Development Group.
He's gone shopping in Brighton.
Oh, has he? Yes. Ah. Oh. Well, never mind, never mind. I expect I'll bump into him somewhere. The stock exchange... CNA modes. Not to worry.
All right, then. How are you, Gerald? All right?
Fine, fine. How are you? Apart from being in a hat.
I'm fine.
And old George?
He's fine. How's Diana?
Who?
How do you mean, who? This is Gerald Potter.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Diana's your wife, then, remember?
Very clearly. What I'm not clear on is why you ask me how she is when you've got her there for tea and book borrowing.
No, she hasn't been here, no. Are you there?
No? I mean, yes. What do you mean, no?
I can't put it any plainer. She did ring up and say could she borrow a book, some rubbish she was writing. But I haven't actually seen her since just before Easter. I know that, because I was showing her my egg and bunny motif design turban with appliqued rhinestones and a parakeet side feather.
We've been together now for 14 years.
I've switched on.
Radio 4. This is the 6 o'clock news.
I told you.
Today's main assassinations. The president of Central Zanzunia, Dr. Zanzu Zinzoli. The Right Reverend Bishop Jehoiakim Masbota of Taramashasnik.
Rubbish. We don't want to hear that stuff. Ah, cat, this is a bad business. Well, it is. Cheers again. And on our betrothal day at the Alfred Hall. You're quite right, Albert. I'll tell you what, cat.
I'd have worried less if she hadn't said that bit about not liking old George. Well-worn ploy, that. Done it myself. That time she kept asking me about Hetty Winkler at my publisher's. A doll of outstanding charms, and I said she was very bony with a long, flat jumper. Looked as if she'd been training to be an aunt, do you remember? I tell you what I don't understand, though. Why give me a clue at all about George Bradshaw? She could have said she was going shopping in Brighton, and I wouldn't have suspected a thing. Not even a group of Chinese sailors. Well, there's your lady novelist for you. Pedestrian. Obvious. No subtlety. Hello, we're down to the ice again. I suppose you wouldn't care to do the honours. No, I thought not. Left in me again. If only I had a tottering old person's patent trigger-action lipstick, as advertised in the old folks' comfort and joy catalogue, I could have reached out and done this work without getting up. Yes, and I'd better go through the waste paper and get that catalogue back, too, now I come to think of it, for research purposes. No.
Life goes on.
Go on, then, you fool. You've got to tell him. Drive in and tell him. What can he do to you? Nothing. He can kill you, but that's all. What's being killed? Drive in and tell him. No. Go and tell him and then drive in. Go and tell him and let him drive in. No, better. Go in, don't tell him, let him drive in, then you won't have to tell him. You'll find out. And then he'll kill you. Darling, I've got something to tell you. No, Joe, put that knife down. Keys, keys. He might have put the porch light on. It's not as if I'd told him yet. Gerald, it's me. I'm home. Where are you? Oh, damn it, he might at least be here. A sitting room. He's asleep. Nodded off watching the assassination news latest. Or latest so far. Well-known lady novelist found dead. No, he's down in that bloody shed. Doesn't care where I am. And been drinking, I see. That's disgusting. Solitary drinking. Brandy, yes. Gone for the shed. Oh. Then I'll go and tell him. Gerald, I shall say. Hello, Gerald.
Hello, Diana.
No! Bloody fool! Oh, you creeping in like that.
Now, darling, that's how cats do creep in.
It also creeps.
Who are you calling a creep?
You too.
You too, if it comes to creeping. There, come to master. Did Lady Moo tread on you then?
I've got something to tell you, shut up.
With a great big nasty fashion boot?
Shut up, I've got to tell you something.
I don't think you'd better hear this. It's not for little pussy ears, this isn't. Out you go.
Right then. If you're quite through with the Dr. Doolittle bit, I'll tell you.
I should like that.
I think you'd better sit down.
I think you had.
I prefer standing.
As you please. Thank you.
Besides, you're not telling anything.
Nor you, actually. Anything I don't know.
What? You mean you know? Oh, hell.
I thought you preferred standing.
I preferred standing when I had to tell you. If you know, I prefer sitting. How do you know?
I phoned Millie.
She wouldn't know.
Yes, I suppose not. Trust old George.
It's only just happened outside Woolworths, where they've got the road roped off.
Really? The public, wasn't it?
It was dark.
Even so. I mean, people view things differently, but I would have thought old George Bradshaw, a respected figure in the city...
You've been solitarily drinking.
Look who's trying to talk. Have another.
Randy Strait, it wasn't my fault. There was a thing sticking out.
Never mind the clinical details. Thank you.
I'll pay for it.
So you should. I see George pays, too. I'll have him... That all right for you?
Lovely, darling. I mean, thank you.
Not at all.
I think you ought to have one.
So do I. I'll have him drummed out of the taxation advisory service. I'll snap his umbrella and hand him the pieces.
So the sticking out thing hit the headlight, and I think the back tire's got glass in it. But the bumper's hardly twisted at all, so that's why I daren't drive in because of seeing the gateposts. And it only happened because it's October the 24th, and oh, darling, I feel so abstract, I can't tell you. I mean abject. Gerald?
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh, hell.
Are you telling me that's all? That's the whole thing?
Nearly. I think the wink has gone as well.
I don't know what to say.
I knew you wouldn't.
Darling, I love you.
I thought you would. You what?
I love you. Give me your tiny hand.
I think that's the tiny one.
That's it. With a tiny engagement ring on it. I'm going to kiss that.
You mean I'm forgiven?
Very much.
Darling, you don't know what a relief.
No, you don't know what a relief. Diana, did I say something about good old George Bradshaw just now?
I don't remember. Who cares about that old slob?
No, I didn't say anything about it.
I thought you didn't. Cheers.
Cheers?
I mean, what's a surprise if it isn't a surprise? That's why I lied about going to Millie's. I went to Uckfield, where the catalogue came from. It's on the back seat when you get the car in your present. I hope you like it, darling. You remember the Albert Hall when we trotted our plough, platted our off, and they played the Good B major?
I did like it, actually. I was afraid it would be a geriatric feeding bib, but it was a patent trigger action lipstick for picking up reference books off my literary writing hub floor. I haven't used it to reach drinks with yet, but it's going to be fun to try. The only maddening thing was that I couldn't remember where I put Miss Badminton's presentation vase in a free box so that no one would think of looking there. But even that turned out all right in the end. That night, when we put the lights out, she said there was something lumpy in her bed. It felt like a box, she said. Then I said, who cared about a lump in the bed, I said. After all, I said, she could always come into mine, I said.